Lessons from the First Passover, Part 1, Exodus chapter 12. Passover begins this coming Friday night. This morning, I want to get us ready for Passover by looking at the first part of the key chapter in the Word of God about Passover, Exodus chapter 12. Most peoples, if not all peoples, have special days to celebrate or remember important events. Israel's annual holidays, which are outlined for us in Leviticus chapter 23, are unique because they were given to the Jewish people by God Himself. These holidays accomplish multiple purposes. They keep us in touch with the seasons that God has designed into creation. They remind us of the great things God has done in Israel's history. They look forward to what God will do to redeem humanity from Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, and death. In Exodus chapter 12, Moses teaches us about the origins of two of these holidays, Passover and Matzah, unleavened bread, and how they are to be celebrated. These two holidays are, of course, very meaningful for the Jewish people. They help us remember one of the greatest events, not only in our history, but in the history of the world, our deliverance from slavery in Egypt. They're also very meaningful for Messiah's people, Christians and Messianic Jews, because they were prophecies of the greater deliverance that comes through Messiah, our sinless and risen Passover lamb. There is much to be learned from the holidays of Passover and Matzah, unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Adonai, the eternal Lord of all things, gave these instructions to Moses and Aaron, two very special men. Moses wrote down what the Lord said to him and his brother. We can trust that what the Lord said to Moses and Aaron was faithfully communicated by Moses to us. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 3,500 years ago, while we were still slaves in Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses and his brother. That's a very long time ago. That makes Passover one of the oldest religious holidays continually celebrated by human beings. In spite of its great antiquity, it's still very relevant and very meaningful today, even more relevant, even more meaningful now that Messiah, our Passover lamb, has arrived. When we celebrate Passover, we are participating in a holiday that the Jewish people have observed for 3,500 years, and which has now been intensified because of Messiah. The month in which Passover and Matzah occur is the first month of the calendar that God gave to the chosen nation. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. God created the earth, the sun, the moon, so that we can have days and nights, weeks and months and seasons and years. The month in which Passover occurs, Nisan, is the first month of God's calendar for his people. So, why is the seventh month, Tishri, called the Jewish New Year? I've heard various explanations, but whatever the explanation, the real Jewish New Year, God's New Year, occurs in the spring in Nisan. That's fitting. The spring is a time of new beginnings for the life cycles of many plants and animals, and it's the time in which Israel was rescued from slavery in Egypt and had a new beginning as a free nation. More instructions. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The whole community of Israel was to participate. No one was to be excluded. No one was to excuse himself from participating. The lesson for us today: Christians and Messianic Jews have been made into a community. We are individuals, but each of us is also a member of Messiah's community. So it's not just us and the Lord. It's us and the Lord and everyone else in Messiah's community. We participate with everyone else in the life and work of Messiah's community. We don't excuse ourselves from taking an active part in the life and work of the community, as do some. The whole community of Israel participated, but they participated family by family. Tell the whole community of Israel that each man is to take a lamb for his family. This teaches us the importance of the family and the need to work on maintaining good family relations. And that can take work. Staying connected to our family, worshiping the Lord with our family, serving the Lord with our family. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. For important events, advance preparations may be required. Passover was a very important event, and advance preparations were required. On the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before Passover began, the man of the family, who was the leader of the family, chose the lamb to be sacrificed. That enabled the family to observe the lamb for a period of time, making sure the lamb was fit to be sacrificed. And maybe during those 4 days, the family formed some kind of emotional attachment to that cute little lamb, making its death even more personal and even more meaningful. In a similar way, Messiah was chosen to be our lamb by God the Father of the family of Israel. Yeshua was with us for 3 or 4 years, and many of us had the privilege of observing him during that time, and knew he was a good and holy and righteous man. Many of us formed a deep attachment to him during that time, making his death very personal very meaningful. More instructions. We were slaves in Egypt. We were poor. A lamb was valuable. It was not to be wasted. The right amount of people needed to share the lamb so it would not be wasted. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. Why share the lamb with the nearest neighbor? Why not share the lamb with family or friends? Sharing the lamb with the nearest neighbor was convenient, and it strengthened relationships with neighbors, which is a very good thing. God has designed neighbors to help each other. As Proverbs teaches us, do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. It's valuable to have good relationships with our neighbors. However, in our society today, many people barely know their neighbors. They don't help their neighbors. We should be different. Let's work at developing good relationships with our neighbors. More instructions. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. We are more familiar with Passover lambs, but goats could also be sacrificed and used for Passover. Passover goats. The lambs or goats had to be male, not female. They had to be a year old, or perhaps less than a year. They could not have any defect. Of course, the young and healthy male lambs and goats, without defect, point us to Messiah. Yeshua was a man who was in the prime of his life without any defect whatsoever. Perfect, sinless, blameless, the best humanity had to offer. The Lord Yeshua is the best, and he gave the best himself, fully, completely, totally. And in return, he deserves the best from us. The best of our lives, the best of our minds and hearts, the best of our efforts, the best of our time, talents, and treasures. Would you agree? I hope so. A lamb or a goat that is 1 year old or less is tender and tasty. That's Messiah. Taste and you will know that the Lord is good. Yeshua is delightful to know, a pleasure to get close to. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. More instructions. Take care of them, the lambs or the goats, until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. 4 days after the lambs and goats were chosen, the animals were slaughtered by the members of the community. Later, after the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was built and the priesthood installed, we went to the tabernacle to sacrifice the lambs and goats. And then after that, when the temple was built, we went to the temple. All of the lambs and goats were slaughtered at the same time, at twilight, the time of the two lights, late afternoon and early evening, the end of the 14th day and the beginning of the 15th day. All the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them. 600,000 men left Egypt. Let's assume that most of those men had families. That means that approximately 600,000 lambs and goats were killed that first Passover. That is a lot of dead animals. That is a lot of blood. Contrast those hundreds of thousands of animals to the sacrifice of Messiah, whose one sacrifice enables God to pass over the sins of every human being who has ever lived or ever will live. More instructions. Blood is special, and the blood of the lambs and goats was to be treated in a special way. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Because animals and humans need blood to live, blood is a symbol of life and it is a symbol of death. With blood, we live. Without blood, we die. The blood that was applied to the sides and tops of the door frames protected the lives of the firstborn sons from death. The blood of the lambs and goats was used for protection. And the bodies of the lambs and the goats were eaten to give nourishment to the members of the community of Israel for their journey, which would begin the following morning. This was Israel's Last Supper in Egypt. For us today, we have the body and blood of Messiah, our Passover lamb. Yeshua's blood that was spilled protects us from death, and his body was resurrected so that Yeshua is alive now in a resurrected, glorified body full of life and power. So as we get close to our living and powerful Lord and Savior, we receive life and strength from him for our journey through life. More instructions. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. The meat of the lamb or goat was not eaten raw because blood would be eaten, and we are not to eat blood. The meat was not to be boiled in water, perhaps because the lamb or goat would have to be cut up to get it in the pot, or it might break apart while being boiled. The lamb was to remain whole. We too need the whole lamb, not just part of the lamb. We need to believe in everything that Messiah is and everything that Messiah has done, is doing, and will do for us. We need to believe in everything that Messiah taught. We need to be united to all of Messiah, Yeshua's life and death and resurrection. We need to be united to his lordship, united to his sufferings, united to his victory, united to his spirit. No, I'll take the Savior part of the Lamb, but I don't want the Lord part. I'll take the blessings that come from the Lamb, but not the service part or the suffering part. No. We need the whole Lamb. Why was the lamb or goat roasted in fire? Roasting the animal enabled it to remain whole, taste delicious. It eliminated the blood. And maybe it was roasted because fire cleanses. Fire purifies. Fire, in this case, made something taste better. The roasting of the lamb points us to Messiah, who, at his death, experienced a baptism of fire. An immersion of intense, intense suffering. Yeshua learned obedience by the things he suffered. Yeshua got even better because of the things he suffered. The one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire was himself baptized with fire. Bitter herbs were eaten along with the lamb. This is to remind the Jewish people that God saved us from great suffering in Egypt. Messiah's followers also suffered much before they were saved by Messiah. We suffered because we were slaves to Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature and death. Although the sons and daughters of God still suffer, after we are saved, our suffering now is different. It is higher. It is purposeful. It is redemptive. And it is mixed with joy because we know that God uses suffering to improve us. And even when we are suffering, we know that our sins are forgiven, we are right with God, we will live forever in a new world without suffering. Matzah, unleavened bread, bread without yeast, was eaten. This reminds us that we left Egypt so quickly, there wasn't time to add yeast to the dough so that it could rise. For Christians and Messianic Jews, we should be living with a sense that Messiah might return soon, or that our own personal exodus might happen at any time. Matzah is yeastless. Yeast represents sin. This teaches us that the followers of the sinless one need to continually remove the sin from their lives so they can maintain a good relationship with Yeshua, who is the perfect fulfillment of the unleavened bread. The Passover lamb or goat was to be eaten. If any of it was not eaten, it was not to be disposed of in a disrespectful way, just throwing it out to the in the garbage or giving it to the dogs or the pigs. It was to be burned. The animal was to be eaten or burned, used for a holy purpose only. The Son of God is holy. We must never use him for any dishonorable purpose. We must always treat him with the great respect and honor that he deserves. More instructions. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Cloak, sandals, and staff are used when traveling outside the home, not used while eating a meal inside the home. And we were to eat in haste because very shortly, the next morning, we would be leaving Egypt. We needed to be ready. We too need to be ready to travel. Each day we should live with the thought that we might very shortly make our exodus from this life. We should be living with a sense of urgency. The time is short, time is valuable, time is precious, and it should not be wasted. It should be lived for the Lord. It is the Lord's Passover. This was a special meal with special requirements that the Lord commanded us to observe. Those who feared the Lord would be careful to do everything he commanded. For us today, Messiah's incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, is the Lord's Passover. We should be careful to do everything the Lord wants us to do in connection with the Lord's Passover. God told his people what they were to do that Passover night. Now he told them what he would do that night. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The Lord himself would bring sudden judgment on the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. The Egyptians had killed our firstborn sons. Adonai would kill their firstborn sons. It's horrible when a substantial percentage of a population dies because an enemy attacks. Think of the 3,000 people that were killed on 9/11 and how much that affected us. It's horrible when an earthquake or a flood or a plague decimates a nation. Those kinds of calamities are horrible, but they are something that people are familiar with. However, the calamity that was about to befall the Egyptians was even worse because not only was a very substantial percentage of the Egyptian population killed, those who were killed selectively and supernaturally by the God of Israel. And it wasn't the weakest or the youngest or the oldest or the sickest or the criminals who were killed. It was the firstborn sons, the principal heirs, the leaders of the Egyptian families. A deadly judgment like this had never occurred in all of human history. It must have been incredibly, amazingly terrifying. Ladies, you want equal treatment with men in all things? Be careful what you wish for. This is one instance when it was not good for the women to be treated the same way as the men. And this judgment was intensified and made even more horrifying by the death of the firstborn males of all the animals in Egypt. The dead bodies of millions and millions and millions of animals would have been scattered throughout Egypt. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. The death of the firstborn of people and the animals demonstrated the superiority of the God of Israel over all the gods of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped gods represented by animals and men. Pharaoh, too, was considered to be a god. So when the firstborn males of people and animals were killed, the God of Israel was shown to be more powerful than the gods of Egypt. I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord, the true God, alive, powerful, to be feared, respected, obeyed by all. The Lord wanted everyone in Egypt to know that. The Lord is alive. He is all-powerful. And he is supremely moral. He is completely righteous. Therefore, he favors the righteous, and he disfavors the wicked. The Lord would punish the Egyptians, but spare his people if his people applied the blood of the lambs and goats to the doors of their houses. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. I will pass over you. Pesach, Passover. Passover with the purpose of sparing life. What a great name for a great holiday. Pesach. Passover. Now, even though Passover happened 3,500 years ago, the Passover story is not over. In the sense that human beings are like the Egyptians, wicked, far from the true God, servants of demonic powers, defying the true God. If human beings do nothing, the Lord will eventually kill us like he killed the firstborn sons of Egypt, if we do nothing. The Passover story is not over because the Lord is going throughout the world today like he did that first Passover, looking for those he can pass over, looking for those he can spare. And there is good news. There is a way that the Lord can pass over people today. When we know who Yeshua is, and when we make a decision and a commitment to become loyal to him, his blood that was shed on the cross is applied to our lives, and we are protected from death. The Lord will pass over us. We may die in this world, but we will live forever in the world to come. Amen. So make sure that is you. Make absolutely certain that Yeshua is your Passover lamb. And if he is, will you not tell others about their need to be passed over by turning to Messiah the Passover lamb. What the Lord was about to do was so special, so amazing, revealed so much about who he is and what he is capable of doing, that he is great and powerful and wise and righteous, that he is able to intervene, save, deliver, rescue, redeem, that he distinguishes between the righteous and the wicked, that he is worthy of being loved and served, that this holiday would be fulfilled by Messiah, our Passover lamb. This holiday is to forever be remembered and celebrated by the Jewish people. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a holiday to the Lord, a lasting ordinance.